Psalm 85, verse 6. If you want to turn there real quick, Psalm 85, verse 6, we're about to get started. We've got our Saturday evening service here in Lebanon. Glad to be here. Glad to see you all here. We're going to have our singing churches choirs going to sing some songs tonight. We've got several special things planned. Brother Michael Kine is going to preach the gospel. We're looking forward to that. If you've found that, we'll be reading from the Authorized Version Bible, the Word of God, Psalm 85 and verse 6. And if you all would stand. I'm going to read the first five verses and then join me on verse 6 altogether. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, please help us to honor and glorify you tonight. Bless the singing, bless everything that's done, and let Christ be lifted up in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Brother Gabe, come on up. We've got water over here on the side. We have a few less resources than we had before. Whatever's over there for resources, like if you need a good old King James Bible, there's some over there. We've got some 52 Bible lessons, a couple more. We were short last night. We had a run-in. The printer ran out of paper on us, so we don't have as many as we'd like. But that's over there. The bathroom's over here off to your side. Brother Gabe, it's all yours. All right, turn to page number 53. We do have a few more extra songbooks, I think, here. If there's anybody that doesn't have one, is there anybody that doesn't have one that would like one? Page number 53, Send Alive.
Send the light.
16. And it says, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And that's why we're here tonight. If there's anybody here that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we've been praying for you. We've been praying for this night, and it's not no mistake that you showed up here tonight.
Thank you.
sing? I just want to let you know we're doing this all for the praise and the glory of our Lord tonight. Not about us, it's about Him. And if you know any of these songs we're singing and you want to join in and just sing unto the Lord, you do that, all right?
Thank you.
Mike's going to give us his testimony. We've got a few minutes here, a few Bible verses to share with us. Hope to give him your attention.
You want a different mic? Does this work right here?
Verses here first. Hopefully this will last in the Lord. Luke 1:69. I only have a few minutes here, so I'm not going to be able to wait for you to turn there. Luke 1:69. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they.
Amen.
Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen.
Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do that obey him. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I don't remember the year I got saved, but I got saved quite a while back. I do remember a few things, though, that when I got saved, I felt the peace of God on me. I felt the grace of God on me. I felt clean inside. It's a wonderful feeling, and I'm hoping that you guys will be able to have the same feeling tonight as I did when I got saved. And hopefully this will bless you either now or later. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Amen. The Word of God has power in it. There's no man that we need. We need to accept Him, Jesus Christ. That's all we need. Now, at this moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. And we're going to ask God to have mercy on this nation, on America, and to send revival to this land. And we're going to have a song playing here called Turn the Tide. My wife's going to do her best to sing it, in spite of her allergies, so bless her home. Pray for her while she sings. And she's going to play on the piano, and we're just going to have a time to listen to the words of it and to pray to God. And at some point there, we're going to have a time to where, and I'll explain to you as we go, where we will pray all together for God to turn the tide in this nation, for God to turn America back to God, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the hearts of the families back together, the hearts of the people back to the Almighty God, and to have mercy on this land. And after this short time, then Brother Michael's going to come and preach. So I ask you just now to, if you would, just shut your eyes, bow your heads, and just talk to God while we sing this song. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Would you pray tonight that God would do this, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers today? Pray, Father, do this, Lord. Touch our children. Touch our families, Lord God. Raise up men who will love their families and love their wives and lead their families in prayer and Bible study, Father. Take their families to church, Father. Teach their boys and girls how to be men and how to be women, Lord God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lord God, raise up some godly fathers tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Anybody, it doesn't matter. We're praying to God, and what I want right now, and I'm going to ask you to do this, is each of you in your area, if you're a born-again Christian, the Bible says the prayers of the wicked are an abomination to God. Get right with God and then pray. Don't not pray. Get right with God and then pray. But what I want you to do in your area is each of you pray right now for your family, your community, your church, where you're from. Don't worry about other people. And if you've got your family right there, pray right with them, lead them in prayer, and each of us just pray in our areas to God right now. Let's take just a couple minutes here. Go ahead and pray. You can pray out loud, you can pray silent, just pray to God. Let's pray for Lebanon, Missouri right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you touch this city of Lebanon. Lord God, I pray that you pour out your Spirit upon this very town and the surrounding area and all of Laclede County, Father. Lord, once in this county, the gospel was preached, Lord God, all over the place, and people knew you, Lord God, and people prayed, and they knew how to pray, Lord God. In the schoolhouses in this county, Lord God, there was a day when the Bible was read, it was taught, and they would pray, Lord God, in the very schoolhouse, Lord God, and the children were being taught the Bible, Lord God, and we've sinned, and we've turned away from you, Lord. We've gotten and taken the Bible out of our schools, Lord. We've forbidden prayer in our schools. We're teaching all kinds of abominations, Father God, and lies to our children, Lord. Our children aren't allowed to read the Bible in school, but they're taught all kinds of perverse sex education, Father. And we confess this sin, and we confess this offense. Lord, you said that if someone would offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck, and he be drowned in the midst of the sea. And Lord God, our little children are being offended, Father God. They're being taught lies, Father God. They're being taught that you don't exist. They're being taught that we evolved out of slime, Lord God, whenever you're the Creator God, and we confess these sins. Lord, we confess the sin of this town today. Lord, the fornication, the sin, the adultery, the drunkenness, the pride, the arrogance, Lord God. We've turned away from you, Lord, as a nation, and even here in this town, in this region, Father God. We've gone back from following you. We've left the old paths, Lord God. We've left the Word of God, and we've taught for doctrine commandments of men, Lord God. And we have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. And Lord God, we ask you in Jesus' name to have mercy on us. Lord God, have mercy on us. Oh God, don't hold these sins against us, Lord God. Give us a space of repentance. Give us a space, Lord God, to turn back to you, Lord, and turn our hearts back to you, we pray. God, we ask this in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Lord, we ask this here for Lebanon, Missouri. In Jesus' name, let's pray now for Washington, D.C. and the United States of America. Father, in Jesus' name, touch the White House. Brother Jason Walpax, please come up here and lead us in prayer for the nation in Washington, D.C. and the administration. Let's pray tonight. Pray with all your heart to the Lord.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. The opportunity to come before you. We do thank you for the space of repentance that you have given us in this land. And Lord, what a privilege and opportunity that we have. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd have mercy upon us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. And we ask, Lord, for repentance in the White House. But before that, Father, I pray for repentance in each of our little White Houses up and down our streets and up and down our roads. And Lord, the sin that we allow in our homes, and we hate it when we see it. Lord, and in D.C., but Lord, we got it going on in our own communities. And Lord, we've turned to alcohol, we've turned to marijuana, and we can call it whatever we want, but we've turned to the drugs and the wickedness of this world in order to get peace instead of turning to your word. And I pray that you would help us to repent in our houses, Lord, and to get the sin out, and get the filth out, and to... Lord, make our houses clean and make our homes clean and make our hearts clean, Lord. And I pray that you would cleanse us and pray, Lord, that you bring cleansing to our land. And Lord, I pray for your mercy upon America. Lord, we sure don't deserve it. Lord, things are a mess. And Lord, I'm ashamed of our leaders. I'm ashamed of the direction that we have gone in our land. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to turn back to you and help us to be right, Lord. And we do pray for our leaders here in our local area. And Lord, those making decisions on these school boards, it's easy to talk about doing the right thing. And Lord, it's another thing to stand for right and stand for truth and be prepared to pay the cost. And I pray that you would help these men and women that are in those positions of leadership, give them the boldness to stand. And Lord, I pray for the pastors of this area that you give them boldness to stand. And Lord, as they stand behind the pulpit tomorrow morning, and Lord, as they preach to their flocks, I pray that you give them a burden for the lost and a burden for the truth. And help them, Lord, to have the boldness to preach your word. And Lord, not to worry about offending people and not worry about upsetting people and not worry about the offering and not worrying about making people feel good. But help us, Lord, to stand for the truth of your word and to be faithful to your holy book. And Lord, we're not holy. Lord, our buildings aren't holy, and Lord, we've got to exalt your holy word, and I pray that you'd help us to keep it first and to hold it high and to exalt Jesus Christ above all. And I pray that you help us to do right. And Lord, when we go back home to our houses, even this very night, I pray you give us the boldness and the power to stand and do the right thing in our homes. And Lord, to live for you. And Lord, to truly love your word. And Lord, I know I fail every day. Lord, I'm a leader in my home. I need to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us and remind us. May we not forget. And don't let the devil come and steal away the seed of the truth. I pray for boldness and power to live for you and honor you. Please, we do ask for your help in our land. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we start doing the right thing here in our homes and our little towns. Lord, let it, Lord, move on and have an effect all the way up in Washington. And Lord, to make a difference. And we pray, Lord, that one day, that one day soon, Lord, that this nation could once again be known as a godly nation. Help us to get honest about sin. Start calling it what it is. We pray for your boldness and your help. Help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Prayer is powerful, ain't it?
It is.
Got this microphone? And we've been lacking a lot of prayer in our country. You know, the Bible says that sin in a nation is a reproach.
Amen.
To any nation.
Amen.
People say, well, America's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The Bible says any nation is a reproach to any nation. But godly righteousness will exalt the nation. It's a Bible thing. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Pray for me tonight as I'm preaching. We need God's help tonight. And I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I know there's a lot of different things you could be doing on a Saturday evening. But you know what? It's honoring to God to come to an old-time Bible tent revival on a Saturday night. And it's an encouragement to see folks that will show up. You know, there used to be revivals all across this country. All across this land there were revivals. And people packed those things out and preachers sometimes preach for 3 hours. Now, I don't plan on preaching for 3 hours. I'm going to try to preach quick. Pray for me as I'm preaching. But it's good to see so many folks out tonight. It's good. And we'll see what God does with this message. We're at chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down the right hand
of the throne
of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction, as Jesus Christ endured a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's for you. He's saying, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Grab a hold of this. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray, Lord, you just fill this place with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd anoint me, Lord, and speak through me, Lord. Help me to preach, Lord God, like I've never preached before. Like
it's my last time to preach,
Lord God. Fill me, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that your words, Lord, you said, won't return void, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, it'd get into the hearts and the minds of the folks that are here, Lord. And you touch them where they need to be touched, Lord. I don't know what they need to hear, Lord God. You know exactly where they're at, what they need to hear, Lord. I pray, Lord, you help the words just to leap out of the page, Lord, and convict their hearts tonight, Lord. Help them, Lord God. And have mercy on this, on the folks that are in this tent, Lord God, and speak to us, Lord. Despite me, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll just keep moving. Like I said, hey, if you're looking for
we're not professionals here, and we're not here to put on any type of showmanship. In fact, showmanship makes me sick. There's too much showmanship all through churches where they've got everything to... We ain't got that here. You know, the only thing I've got that's worth anything is this book right here. This book right here is the only thing worth anything. And if we don't hear from that tonight, it don't matter how well your speakers work or don't work. It don't matter how fancy it is. We want to hear from God tonight. You look back in your Bible there, the Hebrews chapter 12. He's talking to Christians right here. But there's something that I want to pull out of this that God is putting on my heart. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The sin. You don't hear sin preached on very much anymore. Sin seldomly brought up. But you know who sin is a big deal to? God. God Almighty. That's what he's talking about here. When he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know when Jesus Christ knew. Am I on this or this now? All right. There we go again. Alright, there. Alright. You know when Christ was praying in the garden, we're going to get to that in just a second. I want you to think of something about it. He knew the beatings were coming. He knew the crown of thorns that they were going to push into his head. He knew he was going to have to bear that cross. He knew he was going to be spat upon. He knew all of that. But you know what broke his heart? You read it here, look at it here. Verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Striving against sin. That's written to the church right there. Amen. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, when Christ was praying, and John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, hold on here, Mark 15:34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, abakdami, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ knew when he took on the sin of every single one of us that received Christ as your Savior, that sin was put upon Jesus Christ. That's what got him. That's what he was crying about. That's why he was sweating drops of blood, and he was on his knees praying for the Lord. That's what the problem was right here, is he took on that sin. That sin is what held him on the cross. That sin is what he died for, was the sin. And we look at sin, we make light of that sin. In our country, we make mock of sin. It's not a big deal. We make it all kinds of excuses, but God hates sin. He was willing to crucify his own son because he was sinning. He knew he would be beaten. He knew. Look at this. Look at your scripture right there. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and stepped down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame. For consider him that endured such a contradiction. I switched back to this. Endured such a contradiction. You know what that contradiction is? You have a holy, a righteous, a perfect God who never sinned. He never had one bad thought. He's righteous. He's holy. He's worth all the praise, all the glory, without spot. That's Jesus Christ. That's my Savior.
And what he's looking at here is he's taking on the sin. And his father turned his face. And he knew it. And he sweat drops of blood. And today, we look at sin and we don't bat an eye. We don't think much of sin. The reality is we've got this set of real bad sins that we look over there and we say, well, we're not doing those. I've got these over here, and they're not very bad. Come on. Sin is sin. Amen. And if God points your sin out to you, that's the sin He's dealing with.
Amen.
And God said, hey, look, you see what that sin's doing to you? And the sin would so easily beset us. You know what got wrong with our country, where our country got off track? Is we started throwing sin all over our country and making up excuses.
Right.
And making up all types of reasons why the sin's all right. And justifying it with our intellect. I've heard pornography justified.
Right.
People say, oh, it's natural. People justify sodomy. They say you're born that way. The Bible says you're born male and female.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. That ain't my opinion. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And when you justify your sin, it besets you.
Amen.
And this is to save folks right now.
Yeah.
The sin that besets you. Let me do an analogy real quick. David, get up here. Like I said, we're not professionals. David, this is my son right here. Alright, he's a helper. We have a dairy farm, and he's helping, he milks about 90% of the cows, can hook them up, runs and brings up cows. But I tell you something. Hold that. That'd be sin. And you know something? He could pick somebody up still with those in his hand. Now here you go. There's some more sin. It'd be better analogy with some weights. But now guess what? I tell him to go do something for me. I tell him to help out. Go ahead and walk around here so folks can see it. Here, let me add a couple more. Alright, let's see how much help he could be. If I was sitting down here, I said, David, can you give me a hand? Give me a hand up. He ain't doing it, is he? That's your sin. And this country, thank you, David. This country, you've got Christians carrying armfuls of sin and lugging it around. And they're wondering why God's forsaking this country and leaving this country. And God's saying, hey, get rid of your sin.
Amen.
Get rid of your sin. Drop the sin. It's besetting you. It's ruining you.
Amen.
You know what? Your sin is going to ruin your marriage. Your sin is going to ruin your children. Your sin will ruin your grandchildren.
Amen.
And you'll sit back there. And you'll say, why? 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 Your sin.
Amen.
Hey, Christ died for our sin.
Amen.
He took that sin upon Him. And then for you to make light of that sin and say it doesn't bother me,
yeah,
and to go about your Christian, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and you just carry around that sin.
Amen.
God help us. Remember that. We're gonna follow Christ all the way to Calvary tonight. But I wanted to start with Christ. He prayed. And He sweat drops of blood. And He took on the greatest contradiction. Hey, God didn't take on your sin. It's that way you can go about living in your sin.
Amen.
We may park here for a little bit.
Hey,
He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God imputed His righteousness upon you and put your sin, your filth, on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what went on right there.
Right.
And it's got to do with you receive Christ.
Yeah.
You take that on, or you're going to bear your own sin. Now, if you're saved, I want to apply this. I want you to get this, because this is actually written to save folks, if you get the context of this. Remember, it to a son whom He chastens. And if God's chastening you tonight, praise the Lord, you still got a conscience.
Amen.
praise the Lord, you've still got a conscience.
But don't you dare sit there, clench down to your seat, and say, God, I ain't getting rid of that sin.
Yeah.
If God's pointed out a sin to you, you better get it right. Amen. You might not. You're going to reap. And God knows it's going to ruin you.
Amen.
Hey, He's not telling you this for your destruction. He's telling you this because He loved you.
Amen.
And He loved you like His child. If I'm seeing something, one of my boys or my daughter doing something that I know is going to ruin her, I'm going to say, hey, stop.
Yeah.
If I see her running out to the road and the truck's coming,
amen,
I want her to listen, because that truck could run her over or run him over. God sees what your sin's going to do to you.
Amen.
And He's telling you, hey, listen up. You've got something to do with the chastening of the Lord. You can respond with the with your fist clenched and say, God, nope, I'm not going to do nothing about my sin. It's just fine. Or you can get it right. God wants you to repent. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If God's chastening you tonight, hey, praise the Lord, I had a dad that whipped my behind. It helped me. And I didn't even so much know it then, as much as I do looking back on it. If God's chastening you tonight, and He's giving you a butt-whooping, and I don't know where you're at, what you're doing, I don't have a clue. I'm just trying to preach what God told me to preach. But if God's chastening you, you've got an option. You can either get mad at your father for chastening you, or you can respond and get it right. But Jesus Christ here, He resisted unto blood. And the question asked you, or told you, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Here's the thing that we say, well, I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. That temptation's too high for me. I couldn't do anything about it, Brother God. It was just overwhelming. It's in my human nature. And what the Scripture's saying is, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It bothered Christ so bad that He was going to take on the sin, and He knew what it was going to do between Him and His Father. That He sat there and bled drops of blood. Luke 22:44, and being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And what God's saying here is, you haven't done that. And the reason you haven't done that is because it doesn't bother you. That sin doesn't bother you. You see the chastening of the Lord, and you clench your fist, and you come up with your reasons, your excuses, and make light of it. And God says, deal with it.
Amen.
Get it right.
Amen.
Now, if you're lost tonight, then Christ ain't your Father here.
Amen. Right.
And you won't quite understand all of this. But what I want you to understand, and we're going to walk through this, what I want you to understand is that sin is on you.
Amen.
It ain't on Jesus. And God is a holy and righteous judge. And He's going to see that sin all over you. See, the difference between me as a saved person and you as a lost person is that when I stand before God, He's going to see Jesus Christ's righteousness imputed upon me.
Amen.
What He's going to see with you is your wicked sin.
Amen.
And He says, if you'll bend the law on one point, you're guilty of all the law.
Amen.
And let's be honest tonight. You've offended more than one spot of the law. And if you're trusting your righteousness and think you're a good enough person, hey, you're going to bust hell wide open. And I don't tell you that. I'm trying to be a friend to you. If I'm a friend to you, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. I won't just sit there and watch you go to hell. Jesus Christ died for you. And He took your sin on Him. You have to receive Him. So we're going to start here with Jesus Christ. And He resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And if you're a saved person tonight, you haven't done that, is what the Bible says. Sin ought to bother you a bit more. The reason our country's in such a bad shape is because you're carrying around the weight of your sin that you cannot serve God with all the sin loaded on you. Meanwhile, you're calling yourself a Christian. Oh yeah, I serve God. I love God. God says, get rid of that sin. It's weighting you down. And you're just holding on to it, making all these excuses. God help us, get it right. That's why we're doing a tent revival.
Amen.
So we can deal with God when God deals with you.
Amen.
All right, we're going to follow Jesus here to the cross. We're going to look real quick here at John 18:15. John 18:15, we're going to look at Peter real quick. Now, Peter, let me just refresh your mind about Peter. I like Peter. I can relate to a lot of things about Peter. Peter was all the way over here, or he was all the way over here. That's how Peter was. Peter, he sees Jesus out in the water, he hops off the boat, and he goes, take it off to him. Then he looks around and sees the storm. And he starts sinking. I can relate to that. God will tell me to do something sometimes, and I just get on to it, and then I think of the implications. And I forget about Jesus. And I start to sink, and I get my eyes on the storm. Jesus reached down and picked Peter up. That's the Peter we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about the Peter that when they came to arrest Jesus Christ, he grabbed his sword and whoa! And he goes to whack the guy's head off and cuts off his ear. That's Peter we're talking about tonight. John 18:15. And Simon, so they took Jesus Christ. We're going to follow Jesus Christ to Calvary. We're going to look through different perspectives of different people as Christ went and died upon the cross of Calvary. And we're going to follow Peter first here. So Simon Peter, he followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. That disciple was well known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. So now he's inside. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of those man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. It's cold out. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. He wanted to be comfortable. Peter wanted to be comfortable, and he's fitting in with the world, you see. He's standing around this campfire with all these heathens while Jesus Christ is in there. And he's convicted. But he wants to be comfortable, and I believe that God put warmth in there. He put it in there not once but twice. He wanted to be warmed. Your flesh wants to be comfortable. And when they ask him, hey, weren't you with Jesus Christ? He says, nope, that ain't me. Nope, that ain't me. Hey, when your co-worker says, hey, aren't you a Christian? What are you telling a joke like that? I'm not a Christian. See, here's the thing. You want to be a Christian when you're under this tent. You want to be a Christian when you're at church. But when you're out around your buddies, you deny Jesus Christ, just like Peter did here. That's the honest truth of it. We've got Christians so sorry, just like this, that are ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul wrote? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When you get your mind off of God, and you get it on all your worldly buddies, and how they're going to think about you, and what your friends and your family's going to think about you, you get ashamed real quick. Christ died for you. Hey, He took His, if you're saved tonight, He took your sin upon Him.
Right.
And you can't speak up for Him? You can't even let somebody else know you're a Christian?
Yeah.
Come on, be honest. That's a struggle. That's a struggle here in America. We don't even know if we want to say, hey, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, right.
And Christianity's pretty weak right now.
Yeah.
We go to churches that don't ever cut sin. And yet, when they start running down Christianity, I had a college professor once. And that college professor, he went vile. Vile, wicked. He had all types of violence. He said, where are the Christians? And I bid where Peter was. And I told the people around me, I'm a Christian, but I want to get my college degree. God forgive me. God forgive me. But I ain't the only one.
If you're honest with yourself, this college is going through all the Christians that go there, call themselves Christians like I did. And they shame them. And they say, there, stick your head up. And we'll make fun of you. And we'll persecute you. And the Christians just bat their eyes and say, oh, don't do nothing to me. I don't want to say I'm a Christian. I can't speak up for God. Well, maybe I'll wear a little t-shirt.
Yeah.
And you deny Christ. And that's how our country is where it's at today.
Amen.
That's why sodomy, there's sodomite parades all over the place.
Right.
They make up, I thought it was like 2% of the population. It might be more now. A small percentage of the population. Turn this nation on its head, and now sodomy is accepted. It's in every sitcom, it's in every TV show across the country, and everybody just acts like it's normal. And in fact, if you say anything against the sodomite, they'll have your job. That's where we're at. Why? Because they were bold. Bold for their sin. And yet we got Christians that cower at a look. Cower at a glance. We need Christians that will stand up. We need Christians that won't deny Christ.
Amen.
You want revival. We're going to need Christians that will stand.
Amen.
But here's Peter. He's warming himself by this fire. He's thinking about Christ. Skip down with me here to verse 25. And Simon Peter stood at and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear was cut off, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? He's like, hey, I recognize you. You're the dude that cut off my ear. He said, it wasn't me. He said, hey, what are you doing at this bar? You called yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
What are you doing talking like that? You called yourself a Christian. See, when the Christian wants to fit in with the world, they lose their testimony. They lose the light. God wants us to be light to this world. And when you're covered up in that sin we talked about, and you're coating sin all around you, the world says, hey, I thought you said you were a Christian.
Yeah.
And there's no light. Yeah. It's dark. And watch our country. It's getting darker and darker, and the sin is getting more rampant and more rampant. And if you want revival, we're going to need Christians that will stand up at the workplace, stand up at the grocery store, and get the gospel out. See the lost souls. Get rid of the sin. Get it right with God and be a light for God.
Amen.
That's what we need. But you're comfortable by that fire, aren't you? You're comfortable with that job. You've got your 401k. You've got your pension. And if you speak up or put something on Facebook or something that might say you're a Christian, you might lose some friends.
Yeah.
Hey, you will.
Amen.
You will. And praise the Lord. You'll make the Lord happy instead of the world. You can't please both.
Amen.
You can't please both. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Hey, tonight, pick one. Pick one. Hey, you're going to stand up for Jesus Christ, or you're going to watch this country continue to go and go and go. And that's what we've seen. As sin runs more rampant and more rampant and more rampant. Hey, if you look at Black Lives Matter, and I ain't getting into politics, but it wasn't very many folks. And you know what they did? They bust from city to city to city. The same group of people. Going from city to city to city. Why? To put their propaganda out there. Why? Because they were passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not advocating to be like Black Lives Matter by any means. But what if we had some of that passion to go preach the gospel? I'm not advocating for doing any harm. I'm saying preach the gospel. I'm saying love folks. I'm saying be a light for Jesus Christ and let that passion shine through you. A small amount of people can shut the country down. I'm not talking about shutting the country down. I'm talking about being a light for Jesus Christ. Getting stirred up. Paul would write and he'd say, I'm stirring the church up. That's what I'm wanting to do tonight. That's what God's wanting to do tonight. He's wanting to stir you up. We sung about turn the tide.
Amen.
That's how God's going to turn the tide. He's going to turn it by living through you.
Amen. Right.
And he ain't going to do it with your sin hanging all over you and you justifying your sin.
Right.
I want to look at another man here. Turn with me to Luke 23. Luke 23. We're going to look at Pilate.
They brought Jesus Christ to Pilate, and Pilate wasn't really excited about it. I'm going to read for just a little bit, and just bear with us here and pay attention, please. This is the Word of God. What I say doesn't matter, but the Word of God's got power. So pay attention as we read this. Verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they begun to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nations and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, listen to this, I find no fault with this man, in this man. That's the first time that Pilate deals with Jesus Christ. Look what he does in verse 5. And they were more furious. They said, you don't find no fault with Christ? And they got furious. See, the world ain't happy with you just denying Christ either or passing the buck. The world wants you to go against Christ. The world's not going to be happy with your shorty shorts or your sin. It's always going to push you a little further. You understand? The world's not going to be happy with you lusting after another person that's not your wife. You're going to go on to commit adultery. The world will push and push and push. The world's pushing Pilate right here. He's got a decision to make with Jesus Christ. If you've got a decision to make with Jesus Christ. You guys are sitting in the same boat. Look at this. And they were more furious. He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, and they're going to make their case here, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at this time. He said, great, I've got an escape goat. He said, great, I'll send Jesus Christ over to Herod. Woo! I passed the buck. We're good. And you'll sit here tonight, and Jesus Christ will knock at your door, like we preached the other night. He'll knock. You'll hear. And you'll say, oh, who can I pass him off? Oh, that was to that guy. I don't know Jesus.
Yep.
That's what Pilate did. He passed him off over to Herod. That's the first time he dealt with Jesus. Verse 11. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him. This is what he did with Jesus Christ while he's over there with Herod. In a gorgeous robe, they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. That's what he did with Jesus. So Pilate's sitting there, he's got Jesus again, don't he? God is merciful. I want you to get that. The reason you're here tonight, if you're lost and you need Jesus tonight, the reason you're here tonight is God is merciful. And He'll deal with you and deal with you. And then if you continue to deny Jesus Christ, you don't know when He's done dealing with you. You don't know. Tonight could be the last night Jesus deals with you. But here He is. Merciful God. And Pilate's got to deal with Jesus again. And the same day, verse 12, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were in enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accused him. He said, I didn't find a fault with Jesus Christ. Look what he does, though, with him. No, nor yet Herod. His buddy now didn't find any fault with him either. But yet Herod, remember they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and they mocked at him? This world will always mock Christ. The world is enmity with Christ, and your worldly buddies, they're going to mock you, and they're going to push you to deny Christ. Look at here. Verse 16. We'll start verse 15. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Ready for the compromise here. I will therefore chastise him and release him. That's his next move. He's looking for a form of compromise. I didn't quite reject Jesus Christ, but I didn't receive Him either. And maybe he'd call himself a Christian for doing that. Maybe he'd call himself a friend of Jesus Christ for doing that. Pick a side. A lot of people are sitting right there. They dealt with Jesus, and they dealt with them, and now he says, I don't want to be one of those Christians. I don't want to receive Christ as my Savior, because that's going to require some changes in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't want those. But I'm not completely against Christ either.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just straddle this fence, and I'm going to sit there, and we're going to compromise.
Yeah.
And I might go to church every now and again, because after all, I want to be a good person. Hey, you're not a good person in the eyes of Christ. And guess what? Look, the world won't be satisfied with that.
Amen.
And you've watched it all through our country. The world ain't satisfied with it. And they push, and they push, and they push.
Right.
They say, oh, you watch that filthy movie?
Yeah.
You watch that garbage? You let that in your house? And you let your kid watch it? Hey, we're going to push this movie onto you now.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you started with G-rated movies that were wicked as hell itself.
Yeah.
And then you let PG-13 movies into your house.
Yeah.
And you said, well, I don't have cable. I ain't one of those wicked sinners. And then you started throwing R-rated movies in there.
Yeah.
And the devil will keep pushing. You said, I'll listen to a little country. That country ain't too bad. I'll skip the bad ones. I'll listen to the good ones. I'll listen to the fun rock, the clean rock, the old stuff. Hey, if it doesn't glorify God, anything outside of faith is sin, according to the Scripture.
Amen.
And God, hey, devil is something. He'll creep in there any way you let.
Yep.
And he'll push and he'll push. He pushed Pilate here tonight. He pushed Pilate. He wanted to release them. He wanted to just chastise and move on with them. Verse 22, and he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? They were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. He says, I don't get it. And you don't get why the world hates Jesus Christ. You tell someone Jesus died for you and Jesus loves you and he's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they say, get!
Yeah.
They say, don't bring that around here, that hate speech.
Yeah.
That's what the world says. They say it's hate speech.
Right.
They say Jesus Christ died for their sins.
Hate.
Because it's true. If I were to sit there and tell you the purple elephants are going to walk through here, everybody laugh. And you should. Very purple elephants going to come here. But when I talk about Jesus Christ, and you see this Bible, and the Scripture that will not return void, and it strikes the heart, it makes the world mad.
Right.
And you know that as a Christian.
Yep.
And there's a war for your soul if you're lost. The devil ain't happy you're here tonight.
Amen.
If he's distracting you, pray and read this thing. And if God would have mercy. So he says, I will therefore chastise him, bottom of 22, I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant, with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He folded, didn't he?
Yeah.
He folded. The pressure of the world, and he folded. Where are you tonight, friend? Where are you tonight? Hey, he got three times to deal with what he was going to do with Jesus. He had to decide what he was going to do with Jesus. He tried to pass the buck. He couldn't pass the buck. And you can't pass the buck tonight. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. You won't pass that. You won't pass that appointment. That appointment, you're going to be there when you die. And everybody who dies at some point. I haven't found a person yet other than Christ that passed death. You ain't going to pass death. And you're going to stand before God Almighty. He didn't find fault. But yet, he was wanting to beat him, and now he's wanting to crucify him. That's what Pilate did with Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You know, look at the second time here, Matthew 27:24. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you too. He wanted to be innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He thought he could just wash his hands and be done with Jesus Christ. I got news. You can't wash your hands of that blood, and he's not innocent.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ is either going to be your only way to heaven. or you can reject him. But you're going to have to make a decision with Jesus. And it's going to determine your eternity, whether you'll spend it in heaven with Christ, our Savior, or whether you'll spend it a damnation in hell.
Amen.
And I don't want to see you pass to hell.
Amen.
You got to make a decision with Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground. Hebrews 10 talks about you. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received, Hebrews 10:26, the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Hey, once you receive this truth tonight, once you receive this tonight, it's going to be required of you.
Yep.
You're going to recall this again. If you go to hell and you're burning and torment, you'll have a memory, according to this Bible, you'll have a memory. And you'll remember, I sat in that tent and I heard the gospel preached. And I rejected Christ. Why? Oh, why did I reject Christ? It'll be called back to you. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing. A fearful thing. This is God Almighty talking to you. He said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing. Are you hearing that Christ offered Himself a sacrifice for sins? You hearing it? You got ears to hear it? I pray that you're hearing it tonight. We're going to look at one more person tonight. The centurion. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 15. The centurion here, I believe he was seeking truth. I believe he was an earnest seeker of the truth. And we're going to look at what he saw. He saw it. Mark 15:39. And when the centurion, I'm old hillbilly, you gotta have a little grace with me, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. You see, he's against them right here. And we're not talking about if this pulpit right here. Where have you ever seen Mount Calvary, where they crucified Christ? It looks like a skull. I've seen pictures, I've never been there, but it looks like a skull. And it ain't some big mountain. It's kind of a hill there, and it looks like a skull. And I believe right here the centurion's leaning against Christ. And he's watching. You know what he sees? He saw Jesus Christ carry that cross. He saw Christ be beaten like no man had been beaten. You couldn't make out his face. The crown of thorns pushed into his head and spat upon him. The centurion saw that. He saw the soldiers sitting there gambling for his coat. They didn't pay Christ any mind. And they're sitting there gambling, and he's sitting there. And he's noticing all this. And he's seeking the truth. Notice the position he took. He stood over against him. That's the right spot to be at the foot of the cross. He's at the foot of the cross here. And he's probably seen many men crucified. I'm guessing. He's seen many a man crucified. And the pain and the torment that Jesus Christ bore on himself was like no ordinary man. Most men would have been barely whispering, can I get a little water? What's the Bible say? He said Jesus cried with a loud voice. Turn there, actually. Go to John 19:30. John 19:30 is worth it. John 19:30. Christ was no ordinary man if he saw that. He saw that there's something different here. They mocked him all day. They made fun of him. And they beat on him. And Christ, look at this, 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That ain't ordinary. And I believe the centurion saw that. 23:34. It says, Father, forgive them. He heard Jesus Christ say, Father, forgive them. As the soldiers are sitting there gambling, as people are walking by, wagging their heads, saying, this guy right here, mocking them, spitting at them, saying, oh, you called yourself a Christ. You called yourself the Son of God. And they're spitting, and they're making fun of him. The centurion's sitting there. And he's got his eye on the man in the middle. And he's got his ear perked up. And he hears, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, there's something different. Yeah. God reaches down and touches that man. And he said, that's the Son of God. And then notice the other thing is Jesus gave up the ghost. Men don't give up the ghost. You don't decide when you're going to die.
Yeah.
Christ, hey, they couldn't kill Jesus Christ if they tortured him for weeks and months and years. They couldn't kill him. Christ had to give up the ghost. And he knew he had to give up the ghost to pay for your sin. That's why he gave up the ghost. That's why he let them crucify him. He let them do that to him. For you. He bore your sin. For you. And the centurion saw that. The centurion was convinced that this was no ordinary man. He said, truly, truly, this man was the Son of God. 1 Corinthians says, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost was dealing with the centurion at the foot of the cross. And God will deal with you. You've got to humble yourself. And you've got to see Jesus Christ for who He is. Not through the world's eyes. Jesus Christ wasn't no sissy. He wasn't no long-haired, wimpy-looking sissy like Hollywood media likes to point out to me. He was God Almighty. And he stood there. And he hung on the cross for you. And the centurion saw that. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt, not maybe, not if, not possibly, shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's the Bible. That's what God says. And if God says it, you can believe it. The centurion, I believe, was seeking the truth. John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a lot of lies in this world. There's all types of religion. I know what's the matter. The matter with a lot of people is that they're confused, and they say, hey, you tell me salvation is through grace through faith. The next guy says it's salvation through grace through faith plus this and plus that. The next guy comes up and says, well, they're all wrong. You've got these ands and don'ts and ifs and maybes. They say, I don't know what to believe. This is a confusing age. Satan's got all types of things spun up. I've got an answer for you. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Every man a liar. I don't care what the man said. You stick to this Bible. You drive your stake in at the Word of God. You read that Bible, and God will make known His truth to you. He'll clear that up for you. And if it lines up with this Bible, you believe it, and you put your stake in it. If it don't line up with the Word of God, you get rid of it. God ain't trying to hide Himself from you. Drive your stake in with the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Peter 2:6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And listen to this, perk your ears up here, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You believe that? You shall not be confounded. If you're sitting there scratching your head and you don't know whether you're saved or not, the Bible says, if you've got the Holy Ghost in you and you've been saved, you shall not be confounded. God ain't hiding His truth from you. He ain't trying to make it some mystery thing to get to heaven. He made it as easy as He possibly could. He sent His Son, hung Him up upon the cross, and then spit the gospel out all over the world for you to hear. And it's as simple as could be. You believe on Jesus Christ. Your problem is your pride. You'll come up with an excuse
that I don't know the difference between this and that. But did you get in the Bible and read it? Did you read the book of John? Did you read the book of Romans? You can sit there and say, well, it's just too confusing for me. Or you can get in the book. God will make known to you the mysteries of the gospel. Stay with the book. Listen, it don't matter what the modernists say, it don't matter what the liberals say. You stand on that chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Psalms 19:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple, praise God. I'm simple. I ain't no rocket science engineer guy. No. I like milking cows and feeding hay. That's what I like doing. You don't have to be a smart man to understand this Bible. God knows right where you're at. He wrote His book at a fourth grade understanding. That young man, he come up here and he preached the gospel to you. It's as simple as a young man can preach the gospel. A young child can understand it.
Amen.
How old were you when you got saved, Brother Gospel? You wasn't four yet. The gospel is simple. The gospel's not hard to get. You know what's hard to get? It's around your stinking pride.
Amen.
Around your excuses.
Amen. Amen.
God wrote it plain. The problem is you don't want to understand it. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If someone comes along saying, hey, you need to be baptized in order to be saved. If someone comes along saying, you need to do this, this, and this. You look at your Bible and you stick with your Bible. Christ, Jesus Christ died and He paid your sin debt. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Don't be like Pilate. Don't try to just brush it off on the next guy. Don't say, oh, that's for somebody else. That Jesus Christ is just for somebody else. And have the world just push you and push you and push you. If Jesus Christ is dealing with you, respond. Christian, tonight, you come to a revival meeting. Praise the Lord for that. An old-time revival meeting. And I'd love to see this country turn back to God. God is a merciful God. He can do it. He wants to save. Hey, He wants to save America. I love my country. I want my children to grow up with the same freedoms that they've been growing up with. It ain't going to happen with Christians that carry sin all around and can't be used of God and they won't drop their sin. Christ died to pay for your sin, but He hates sin. And it'll beset you, and it'll wreck you, and it'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your children, your grandchildren. I'm begging and pleading with the Christians as well tonight to get it right with God. Get down at this altar. Humble yourself before a righteous and holy God. And repent of your sin. Don't ball your fist up at God's chastisement. He chastised you because He loved you. And I tell you this tonight because there's a God and He loves you. He wants that relationship with you. And if you haven't received Christ, you've got a decision to make. You can either reject Christ, reject the blood that He shed for you, or you can receive it. If you choose to reject it, you don't have an excuse. You'll stand and you'll remember this an eternity of damnation. I said eternity. Eternity. And you'll be wanting a second chance. And you won't get one. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God's given you a free gift. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. You've got to decide what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. That's all I've got for you, Brother Joshua.
You've heard the truth tonight. What are you going to do with it? Every head bowed, every eye shut. We're going to just take a moment here and give you some time to think about this. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We need some time to think about it. If you need to do business with God, I ask you to come right now. Come to the altar and pray if you know what you need to do. You don't need to wait. You need to get it right with God. Play whatever. Just pick a song out of that. There we go. We do business with God tonight. And then what we're going to do, if you have questions, if you are confused, if you're not sure about this, we want to answer your questions, and we will do that. But right now, I want to tell you, if the biggest thing you need to do is get right with God. If you're a Christian here tonight and you're living in sin, there is mercy. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talk to lost people all the time that say, well, how are you going to get to heaven? And they say, well, I just keep asking God for mercy. I pray to Him every day. I confess my sins, and so I just think I'm going to get to heaven that way. Friend, you're not going to get to heaven confessing your sins. You've got to have the blood. You've got to get under the blood. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confessing your sins is a privilege God gives His children. If you're His child, you can go to Him and confess your sins and be forgiven. But if you're not His child, you need to get to God through Jesus Christ before you can be forgiven. You got to come by the way of the cross. What's your condition tonight? What do you need to do tonight? Spend some time dealing with the Lord. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I prayed. Maybe I got baptized. I went to church. I've done all these things, but I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. With nobody looking around tonight, would you just raise your hand and let me know that you're struggling with that tonight? I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. Anyone here that's not sure you're saved, raise your hand, please. See those hands. Here tonight and you say, I'm sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Would you raise your hand? Hold it up there for a second, please. Keep it up for just a second. You say, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ's blood alone, nothing else. Not my baptism, not my church membership, not my confirmation. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell, and I've turned to Jesus Christ. I turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I know that He saved me by the authority of the Word of God. Will you keep your hand up? If that's not you, please put it down. Amen. You can put your hands down tonight. Brother Gabe, go ahead and sing a verse of that song. So most of us here profess Christ and said that we're believers, said that we're born again. I want you to ask God tonight something special. I want you to ask God to show you if you've done anything to offend Him. If you have any sin, anything that God is offended with in your life, just ask Him that, please. Ask God.